This is New Hampshire Today. I am Chris Reinel and Justin McIsaac. Appreciate you joining us for the show here on News Radio 610-96.7. Joining us right now on the program is the governor of the great state of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu. Governor Sununu, how are you?
I'm great. We got through the holidays. Things are you know, looking up. We're hopefully 2021 will be as good as we all hope it's supposed to be, right? I mean, I guess time will tell, but it's kind of up to us, I think, to make it the best it can be.
As I saw a sign that said in a doctor's office, it said, "I may agree to 2021, but first let me see its terms and conditions." I think a lot of people are in that boat right now, wondering exactly what 2021 is going to bring and greeting it with some trepidation, but also hope. Governor Sununu, you have been on the receiving end of some significant threats and have had individuals protesting outside your home for a number of weeks at this point in time. And as a result, you were forced to move the inauguration, which was set for Thursday at the State House, to become a virtual event. What can you tell us about the nature of the threats to you and your family, which led to that change?
Well, I'm not going to go into great detail about the threats that we take. I mean, for obvious security reasons, other than to say they're serious, they're real, and I take the security of my family and ultimately the citizens. When you do a large public event like that, there's other considerations to take. There's a lot of other folks involved, and you know, we had planned to move the inaugural out front to be outside and socially distanced on the steps of the State House, something that hadn't been done in about 50 or 60 years. But then when these threats were kind of escalating over the month of December, I was actually literally standing on the steps of the State House looking at the giant plaza, and there's really no way to secure it there, unfortunately. And we looked at that in a variety of different ways, and ultimately we just need to be safe. We need to be careful about that stuff, and obviously the safety of my family and all those that might be around me come first. And so we have to take that stuff seriously. When you see the escalation of what has happened, it isn't 2010 anymore. It isn't. Just this past year has shown us when people disagree with something and they think it's okay to burn a city down, when people disagree and they get so violent and angry, the goalposts of what is acceptable for folks that might be upset or want to protest something have moved. Inappropriately, by the way, but they have moved. And so people are crossing a line that used to be there. They really are crossing a line where it's not just an invasion of privacy. It has nothing to do with the First Amendment. We support that 110%, but there is a line to be crossed. When an individual's family is involved, when the threats are very real, they're significant, and so we just have to take that seriously, and unfortunately make some additional changes. You know, when we're in the body of the, you know, when we normally do this in the State House, right, in the House chambers, it's fine. You know, there's security there. It's in a secure place, and everyone attends. Obviously, we can't do that because of COVID, and now unfortunately the larger public event just needs some augmentation as well.
Is there any concern that you give some credence to those who would be protesting or have issued these threats when you change your plans? And was that a part of your concern? Obviously, the safety of you and your family is first and foremost, and you have that information. I do not. But is there any concern on your part about the fact that if you make a change for them, that may put some wind in their sails?
No, that's not part of the calculation. Oh, look, if folks want to protest or they disagree with something and they want to come to the State House Plaza, that's great. That they have every right to do so. We're very supportive of that, and they have their First Amendment free speech rights to do that. And we've got protest groups. I'm at the State House now. I'm at the State House all the time. There's this weird someone out there. I see people every once in a while on social media saying, the State House is closed. He's not there. I'm here. So if you want to protest, go to the State House. That's an appropriate place to do it. I don't consider us making changes, putting wind in their sails, because the only consideration we're looking at is public safety.
I want to ask you about the hospitalizations in New Hampshire as well, as they are soaring as a result of COVID-19. Facilities and staff are concerned about ICUs being at capacity. 325 individuals are currently hospitalized due to COVID-19, according to the New Hampshire Department of Health and Human Services. You have long referenced that hospitalizations and testing capacity are the rationale that you have for whether or not to go into a more significant stay-at-home order or to start closing things. Are you at that point now where you're going to need to start to put some things into to play, or at least into consideration in regards to closing things or putting in curfews, things of that nature?
No. No, we have a lot of folks. I think, yeah, we have about over 300 people now in the hospitals. I always say that that lags, and the fatalities kind of lag the high point of your COVID numbers, and I think we're at that peak, or we're bouncing around the peak a little bit of that. So we anticipate the hospitalizations and, fortunately, some of the fatalities that can result from that to kind of lag for the next couple of weeks. But we work with the hospitals almost on a daily basis. We have a census report that we get. We see, you know, what their capacity is. Some hospitals have had to change and augment what they do or some of the services they provide. But if folks need a procedure, check with your hospital and go in. It's safe. They can do it for the most part. And I think maybe on some of the elective procedures, there's certain areas, especially in the southern tier, where some hospitals are choosing to delay some of those things so they have the ability. But no, we haven't had to open our surge centers or anything like that. And economic restrictions and shutting businesses down don't necessarily make the hospitalization go down today. The fact that we have the vaccine coming out, the fact that, you know, by February, early February, the first 100,000, most vulnerable 100,000 of our citizens are going to be fully vaccinated. I think you're going to see the fatality rate and the hospitalization rate drop precipitously by mid to late February because of that. So we have a path here to get this number down, to be able to manage this as we go through over the next 60 days, and we're sticking with that strategy. The numbers are coming in as we predicted. You know what I mean? If things were going way off track from what we had predicted, that might be one thing. But if anything, they're probably a little bit lower than I had originally predicted. I think we've had 3 or 4 days total with over 1,000 cases. I thought we would have a lot more than that by now, but we don't, thank goodness. So the numbers are high, but all very manageable.
Senator Romney slammed the vaccine distribution rollout, according to CNN, saying it is incomprehensible as it is inexcusable. Have you thought that the federal plan is insufficient, or have you been pleased with it?
Probably a little more on the insufficient side, and by that I mean, you know, we were kind of set a certain expectation, and then around mid-December it was like, no, look, you're not going to get exactly what you thought. We're going to chop you down a little bit. It's not being manufactured quite as fast as we thought. I mean, look, the fact that we have any vaccine coming out in December I thought was a huge win. It wasn't as high as the numbers that they originally told us. They give us a number every single week. They say, okay, next week, you know, in 4 days from now, you're going to get X, and then based on that, we distribute it to the areas of highest need. So if it would come out faster, that would be great. But I don't think they're holding back. I think the manufacturers are making it as fast as they possibly can. I just think that, you know, this administration is not very good at understanding the value of setting appropriate expectations. They set it a bit high for everybody. But look, my job is just to manage what we get, making sure that as it comes in, it gets distributed. And as it gets distributed, hopefully those individuals are actually making those vaccinations happen, and we're on a good path there. The logistics end from what's happening here within the state is what I'm most responsible for, and in that sense, it's going very, very well. But of course, everyone would love to see more vaccine coming.
On Wednesday, United States senators as well as members of the House of Representatives will vote to confirm and certify the results of the Electoral College, but there are several Republican senators who will not be doing so and seek to contest the Electoral College results. What are your thoughts on that, and do you view that as being a threat to our democracy, as Senator Romney said? Do you think that Senator Hawley is in the right? Senator Cotton, individual, said that this will establish an unwise precedent. What are your thoughts on Republican senators seeking to not certify the results of the Electoral College?
Joe Biden's going to get sworn in on January 20th. So what is happening now, it's just... I don't understand the point of it, and I do appreciate some of the concerns that, look, just because your guy or girl didn't win that you voted for doesn't mean you can stand up and yell, you know, fraud at every turn. And again, if they hadn't had the 50 lawsuits, if they hadn't reviewed this repeatedly in so many states, I can't speak for what exactly happened in all those states, but the fact that the Supreme Court which is, you know, if anything, a more conservatively biased, and you have a few individuals there that were put there by President Trump. They don't have any interest in going against him other than following the rule of law. The Supreme Court wouldn't take it up. And for me, and I think for most Americans, that was kind of the point where we said, okay, we got to move on now. And my job to manage the state of New Hampshire is to move on. I can't be part of this. We're going to slow things down and keep, you know, trying to put a cog in the works. So I appreciate the passions on both sides, but we just have to move on. And I don't think what they're doing in Washington, the senators or the congressmen trying to slow down the ratification or the counting of the final electoral votes, I don't think it's productive in any way. And so if it's not productive, you know, lead, follow, get out of the way, right? And that's kind of the metric I have to use given all that's on our plate right now. And I think we just need to move forward.
Governor Sununu, as always, appreciate joining us for the show. Look forward to chatting again soon.
Thank you.
That is New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu joining us here on New Hampshire Today. I am Chris Ryan, along with Justin McIsaac on News Radio 610-96.7. U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan is next.